What was Pilate's main mistake when it came to the trial of Jesus? Here's Skip Heitzig.
What was Pilate's mistake? His mistake was compromise. He knew what was right. Jesus is innocent. He shouldn't be killed. But at the same time, he himself won't do what's right. He'll go halfway. He's innocent, but we'll scourge him. There are many people, like Pilate, who think the same way concerning Jesus. They'll marvel at him. Yeah, Jesus, he's awesome. But they'll never commit to him. They know it's right, but they won't follow him. They may rationalize something like this. Well, look, I'm not like against Jesus or anything, but I'm not for him. But what did Jesus say? You're either for me or you are against me. You're either on this side, he said, or you're on that side. He allowed no room for rationalization. You know, rationalization like this, compromise like this, can destroy a person.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Judge Judy is the most popular courtroom program on television. It's currently in its 18th season and still going strong. She's known for her toughness and wit as she deals out justice from the bench. And she's not only one of the biggest pop culture icons in our country, polls have also shown that we trust her over the 9 justices of the Supreme Court. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig takes us alongside Jesus as he's tried before Pilate as we continue a special Easter series, The Passion of Christ. And unlike Judge Judy, Pilate's justice was not quick or fair, although it certainly was tough. We'll get started here in just a moment, but first, we have an invitation for you. Easter Sunday, April 20th, Skip Heitzig has asked for King and Country to join him for the annual Easter Sunrise Service. It streams live beginning at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time at skipheitzig.com. Say it loud, He's Alive is the theme for this celebration, and be sure to invite some friends who you'd like to share the gospel message with. And we'd also like to invite you to learn more about this month's special connection resource from author Lee Strobel. And here's more.
Who is Jesus? Investigative journalist Lee Strobel began to wonder. After 14 years of reporting, he gave the Christian faith the same attention he gave his work.
Well, I was a journalist, so there was really no problem with me picking up the phone and calling a scholar and saying, hey, I'm Lee Strobel, I'm with the Chicago Tribune. I'd like some background information about the New Testament. And so I would do that, and I thought it was going to be so easy to expose the fallacious thinking behind Christianity, but as it turned out, it took me almost 2 years of my life to investigate these issues. It really was, in a sense, the most exciting story I'd ever pursued as a journalist.
This month's Connection resource follows Strobel's research with a 3-movie DVD, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, and The Case for the Creator. Join Strobel as he uncovers the facts surrounding Christianity. This 3-DVD package is yours for $25 when you order at skipheitzig.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888.
You know, trials are fascinating to watch, and no trial in history has had more hanging on it than this one. Today's teaching from The Connection is titled In the Courtroom with Christ. And as we'll see, this trial is taking place in our hearts each day. Stay tuned.
And make the connection.
Matthew chapter 27 is the focus of today's teaching, and I hope you'll join in there. Here's Pastor Skip taking us to Jesus' trial.
One of the most noteworthy things I find in all of the New Testament concerning Jesus is he never, ever panics. Do you ever see Jesus flustered? I don't know what to do. This is horrible. Just calm. As if on schedule. Do you not hear the accusations? Pilate marveled. I have a letter I'd like to read to you at this point, part of it. It comes from India. I got it some time back. They were showing a film over in India, the Jesus film, to some villagers in one of the provinces, and they were seeing results, people coming to Christ. But listen to this account. In a village in Andhra Pradesh, 1,200 people attended a film show. When the altar call was given, 36 people came forward to accept Christ. All of them were from non-Christian backgrounds. The next morning, when Brother Samuel, a member of the film team, was returning from the morning walk, he overheard the conversation of two young boys. One said to the other, "The Christian's God is good. We should believe in him." When his friend asked why, the boy replied, "Because our gods are very short-tempered, but Jesus is a very patient God, as we saw in the film yesterday." Interesting testimony, isn't it? This Jesus is a very patient God. And now this very patient God is standing before this procurator who is making a very important choice. We want to come now to the sentencing of Jesus, which really takes place from verse 15 down to the end of the chapter. But you've got to somehow understand Pilate's dilemma. He knows Jesus is innocent. He has already said so. He has made the judicial edict. At the same time, he's got a group of Jewish people, moreover Jewish leaders, who are pushing him into a corner. Now let me tell you why Pilate just can't say, at least in his mind, "Let Jesus go, forget you guys." He is walking a very tight rope. He has made some mistakes in the 7 years he has been procurator. You know, we say in baseball, three strikes and you're out. He already had three strikes. He's on his fourth. Let me explain. A few years before this, Pontius Pilate had banners made with the image of Caesar put upon them and had them marched through the city of Jerusalem, which is an offense, if you know, to any Jewish person. There's to be no image around their worship system at all. And so they sent a delegation to Caesarea, where he lived, demanding that those banners be removed. Pilate didn't like ultimatums. He had his soldiers take swords out and say, "One more complaint and we will kill you." Well, the Jewish delegation lay down on the ground in the amphitheater in Caesarea, and I've taken some of you to that amphitheater, and they pulled their tunics down and bare their necks and said, "Go ahead, cut our heads off." And Pilate realized, I'm dealing with a group of people who are willing to die over a banner issue. And he knew with that kind of group, he couldn't win, so he had the banners removed. That was strike one. Strike two came a few years later when he forcibly took money out of the temple treasury in Jerusalem to pay for an aqueduct to be built to convey water into the city of Jerusalem from Hebron, a few miles to the north. East. The Jews didn't like somebody invading their treasury. Although Pilate was doing it to bring water for the sacrifices, they thought that he was going to give an army water supply when they would siege the city. So they protested. When they protested this time, Pilate had guys with daggers and clubs indiscriminately kill people in the crowd to disperse them. That was strike two. Strike three came a few years later. Just prior to this, Pilate had special shields made for his soldiers at the Antonia Fortress with the inscription of Tiberius Caesar emblazoned upon it. He had them stationed in Herod's palace in Jerusalem. When the Jews found out this creep again made a false image and brought it into the Jewish city, they wrote a personal letter to Tiberius Caesar in Rome. Now, Pilate thought, Caesar won't care. It's his image. He'll be honored. Tiberius Caesar wrote Pilate a rebuke demanding him to remove those shields and said, "You do it again, you're out." So he's walking a tightrope. That's why in John chapter 18, listen to this statement. The Jews said to Pilate, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's." He knew what that meant. This is your fourth attempt, pal. You do this, he'll hear about it. So because of that kind of dilemma, that kind of pressure, he is a consummate politician. He knows what's right, but he won't be what's right. He won't be a true leader. He'll be a follower. You know, it's been said that a smart politician won't throw his hat in the ring till he knows which way the wind is blowing. He finds which way the wind is blowing that morning. Now he's going to make his final choice in these verses. And his decision is in three phases. Three phases. Phase number one is compromise. Phase number two, cowardice. And phase number three, conformity. First of all, he compromises. Luke fills in the story, but Matthew mentions it. Look over at verse 26. It's not an order in this account, but it is in mention. Then he released Barabbas to them. We'll get to him in a second. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This is what goes on. He knows Jesus is innocent. The crowd says, yeah, but he has to be killed. So, as a diplomatic gesture, Pilate tells his men, go scourge him, bring him back. Now, scourging was done, I've told you before, with the Roman flagellum, which was a short wooden handle. Attached to it were 18 to 24-inch leather thongs. At the end of those thongs were bits of metal or glass or bone. It was designed to shred flesh. The prisoner was tied to a post. He was suspended above the ground, so his feet were dangling. His hands were put above his head so that the skin of his back was taut like a drum. On either side, there were two lectors, one on either side, men with whips who would deliver diagonal blows to the back. It would tear the flesh. It would lacerate the muscles. It would even go deeper sometimes. Church historian Eusebius writes in his work, Ecclesiastical History, that some of the early martyrs were killed by the Roman scourge. Here's his account. Many of these martyrs were torn by scourges down to the deep-seated veins and arteries, so that the hidden contents of the recesses of their bodies, their entrails, and their organs were exposed to the sight. Many of them died. Jesus survived. And after the scourging, to appease them, Jesus is brought back to the praetorium. Pilate wants to let Jesus go. He knows he's innocent. So he brings Jesus out to the balcony one more time in that bloodied, shredded state, hoping that the sight of blood will appease them. And he says to the crowd, I'm bringing him out to you again that you may know that I find no fault in him. And as Jesus walks out on the balcony, bloodied, bruised, beaten, Pilate points to him and says in Latin, Ecce homo, behold the man. In other words, pity this poor creature. But what do they shout? Kill him. Get rid of him. Crucify him. Wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. What was Pilate's mistake? His mistake was compromise. He knew what was right. Jesus is innocent. He shouldn't be killed. But at the same time, he himself won't do what's right. He'll go halfway. He's innocent, but we'll scourge him. There are many people, like Pilate, who think the same way concerning Jesus. They'll marvel at him. Yeah, Jesus, he's awesome. But they'll never commit to him. They know it's right, but they won't follow him. They may rationalize something like this. Well, look, I'm not like against Jesus or anything, but I'm not for him. But what did Jesus say? You're either for me or you are against me. You're either on this side, he said, or you're on that side. He allowed no room for rationalization. You know, rationalization like this, compromise like this, can destroy a person. I think I've told you about that Russian parable of the hunter who was out and he had a bear firmly in his sights and he's about to pull the trigger to kill a bear, and the bear turns around and in a very soothing Russian voice says, let's negotiate. Why do you want to kill me? It's better to talk. We can compromise. What is it you want? The Russian said, All I want is a fur coat. The bear said, good, good, get it out. You want a fur coat? All I want is a good meal. Let's go talk about it. So they go off in the woods together and talk. The bear comes back alone. The negotiations were successful. The bear got his meal, and in a sense, the man got his fur coat. He was inside the bear. Compromise killed him. Look over at verse 15 now. This is the second phase of his decision. He has Jesus scourged. He's brought back. Now he acts the part of a coward. At the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. That time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. When he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Pilate's a coward. He's scared to make the choice on his own, so he gives it now to the audience. It's a brilliant maneuver, actually, because he could release Jesus and fulfill the wishes of the Sanhedrin, he's thinking, because he's thinking, surely they're going to say, kill Barabbas and give us Jesus, because Barabbas is worse. He's a murderer. So he could tell the Sanhedrin, look, I was going to kill him, but, you know, the audience. Except the audience says, kill him, because the chief priest has incited them. How many people will make their choices based on how others think for them concerning Jesus? Maybe you grew up that way. Maybe you let your friends, your peer group, make your choice for you concerning Christ. After all, if I give my life to Jesus, my good friends won't like it. Well, then they're not your good friends, are they? If they would say, no, no, don't come to Jesus. We don't want you to go to heaven. Come to hell with us. Those aren't your friends. Or maybe you let your parents do thinking for you, or the religious institution. When it comes to Jesus Christ, you're on your own. You got to make your own choice. Pilate was hoping, as a coward, that they would make the choice for him. But they say, crucify him. Now, finally, and we close. The final part of his choice is conformity. He will do what they all, including the chief priests and the crowd, want. Verse 21, the governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. The governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. The volume is now turning up. Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but that rather a tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude. This is his way of saying, I'm only doing this because you want it. I really don't know what decision to make. Saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. He's signing the warrant now. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now here's Pilate. He's trying to figure out what to do. And just as he's dealing with it, his wife comes in, right? Verse 19, interrupts the whole court proceeding. This is very unlikely. But she had a dream. Mrs. Pilate walks in. That would be co-pilot at this story. Sorry. And she says, I had a dream last night. This man is righteous. Have nothing to do with him. Now think of all the voices Pilate has at this point. He has his own voice, his conscience, telling him, you know, this guy is innocent. These are false charges. He should be let go, and he keeps pushing for that. So he's got his own conscience. Second, he's got his wife saying, to confirm how you feel, honey, I had a dream last night. Let him go. He should have thought, man, this is spooky. I'm going to let him go. Third, he had Jesus' voice. He had that private interview. And Jesus looked into his eyes and told him that he was the king who has come. There's another kingdom. There's eternal truth to be had. But in the midst of all of that, he had the voices of the crowd, the population, what most people did. And he gave in to them. Matthew doesn't include it, but listen to how Luke closes out this story. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. What a sad, sad verse. When the voice of people will prevail over what you know is right concerning Jesus. So that you'll be popular with other people, you'll let their voice prevail over truth. Very sad. If you always go along with the crowd, let me warn you of the ending. If you follow the crowd, you know where they're going? This is what Jesus said. Enter into the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter in there. He said, very few will enter into the narrow gate. Very few, he said, will be saved. You want to follow most people, the crowd, they are on the road to eternal destruction. If you follow them, that's where you'll end up. What then will I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Good question. What will you do with him? You'll be asked that one time, and just like the television show, is that your final answer? What will your final answer be? What has it been?
You know, each of us need to decide our answer to Christ. Following him requires a commitment, because as Skip mentioned, we are either for him or against him. And that's where we'll have to pause for today. This is The Connection with Skip Heitzig, and today's teaching was titled, In the Courtroom with Christ. It's just one part of our current Easter series, The Passion of Christ. And this series takes us in-depth alongside Jesus as he steadily pursued his greatest goal, the cross. And now you can order a copy of the entire Passion of Christ series at skipheitzig.com. It's only $33 for all 7 teachings. And if you prefer to get only today's message, it's available on audio CD for only $6. Order today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or online at skipheitzig.com. You can also mail your request to P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And now we're pleased to have Skip and Lenya in studio with us today.
Skip, it's the Easter season, and he is risen.
Amen. He is risen indeed.
That's right. And there are often great opportunities during this season to reach out with the gospel message to those around us. Coming up on Sunday, people can live stream our Easter sunrise service, which is spectacular here.
It really is. There's 20 to 25,000 people in our local football stadium. And it's marvelous to be a part of that huge congregation.
And just having the sun come up and warm us and start shining on us in the midst of that service.
If it doesn't rain or snow, it's always
good. We've been very blessed the last several years. So anyway, that's a wonderful opportunity. This is something we've done for a long time. How can our listeners join in?
Well, we're calling it this year, Say It Loud. He's alive. We're making a proclamation that Jesus is alive. Say It Loud. And we have great musicians. It's called For King and Country. They're a band that have been on late night shows, and they've been in the secular world, but they're really devoted to Christ, and they're really passionate about the gospel message. We've had them here. We're going to have them at the stadium.
Jubilant, all those drums.
All the drums, yeah. They make a joyful, loud noise to the Lord. It's going to be live streamed, so you can go to skipheitzig.com, and you can do it right from there. It's going to be 7:30 in the morning, Mountain Time. That's our time. If you're on the West Coast, that's 6:30 a.m. Pacific, 8:30 a.m. Central, and 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. If you're in Arizona, I'm confused. I don't know, but it fits in there somewhere.
So it's more sunrise on the West Coast and less sunrise on the East Coast, depending on when you tune in.
But if it's sunrise, S-O-N-rise, it doesn't matter if you're in a dark room.
Well, that's right. Thanks, Skip and Lenya. We're sure looking forward to that Easter morning, 7:30 a.m., Mountain Time at skipheitzig.com. And if you're encouraged by today's teaching, then the Connection Podcast is for you. It's free to sign up, and you'll receive each Connection broadcast delivered straight to your email as an MP3, ready for you to load up and listen to when you have time. Visit skipheitzig.com/podcasts.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
The last words that someone says can tell us so much about a person, and Jesus' last words were no different. We'll look at them tomorrow here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.